4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll ask for your thoughts on what Wisconsin looks and sounds like to the rest of the country.
First, Wisconsin has seen 44 cases of a rare and often antibiotic-resistant bacteria infecting the bloodstream, with about 18 known fatalities. The bacteria is rare, so the CDC reported that there's no national surveillance for it. It's hard to tell how often and how many people are usually affected by it. Disease detectives from the CDC recently got involved to investigate how and why the Elizabethkina bacteria is affecting Wisconsinites in particular.
Dr. Nasya Sufdar joins us now. She's the Medical Director of Infection Control at UW Hospital and Clinics and faculty at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Sufdar, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, first, tell us, what do we know so far about Elizabethkina?
So Elizabethkina is a group of bacteria that, you know, are not common causes of infections in the general public. Most of the time when we hear about them, it's in the setting of sporadic cases, usually in a hospital or a healthcare facility, and often in the setting of a patient who is very vulnerable and frail or has other illnesses that render them susceptible to infection by this group of bacteria.
And what do we know about the group of bacteria?
So they are considered gram-negative, which is just a way to categorize bacteria by the type of stain that they take up in the lab, you know, when one is working them up. So these particular ones stain pink with this stain called the gram stain, and hence they're called gram-negative. They are often resistant to many antibiotic agents, but that being said, there are treatment options available, but often it might mean, you know, doing a combination of antibiotics rather than one. Those are the distinguishing features.
And as I understand it, this bacteria is found a lot, kind of all over the place, in the soil. It can live on people's bodies. But how does it typically get into the body, and how might a person pick up that infection?
So usually, yes, just as you mentioned, it's ubiquitous in the environment and water and other sources that are around us. But because it's not very virulent, meaning that it doesn't attack the normal host, it only causes infections if one's immune system is unable to cope with the entry of a pathogen. So, you know, immunocompromised, organ transplant, dialysis patients, that sort of thing, or other illnesses. Those individuals are more vulnerable. Some people may have it be in their sputum, but they're just colonized. It's not causing infection in that instance most often. So usually it's in the setting of healthcare, it's some procedure or device or administration of some fluid that causes individuals to get it.
Now, the CDC is now involved in trying to sort out where this particular outbreak, where the source is. So it tells us that this is something that's a little bit rare outside the norm. How unusual is this kind of outbreak?
It is very unusual. You know, most of the time we'll see very sporadic cases, maybe one or two a year, if that, in this, and most of them are in the context of some association with a healthcare facility. Here, many seem to be occurring in the community. It's a single state, but yet multi-county outbreak, so, and it's the largest of its kind thus far, so those things make it very challenging.
It sounds as though some of the people who were infected were not people who left home very often or were not in healthcare facilities, so how does the CDC go about trying to solve this question about where it's coming from?
Well, I mean, some avenues of inquiry might be going to the homes of those individuals and sampling the usual suspects, so water sources, other, looking at their medications, what they might be receiving internally that could be contaminated with Elizabethkina, for example. Those are some of the things people would wonder about.
And again, this is affecting primarily people with compromised immune systems, but what are the symptoms? What should people be on the lookout for if they are someone in that group?
Well, usually it's not a subtle finding. You know, people will start to feel quite ill. Most of the severe infections are in the bloodstream. So with bloodstream infections, you will often get fever, shaking chills. If the infection is in a particular body site, like the skin, you might see redness or inflammation of the skin. If it's a pneumonia, you might get respiratory symptoms. But it's not something that I would consider to be a low-grade or subtle infection. It's usually fairly significant and fairly apparent.
And there are 44 cases, 18 deaths due to this bacteria. And you said this is treatable, combinations of antibiotics with other treatments. But what do people need to know about what their chances are and how dangerous this thing is if they pick it up?
Well, I think a lot depends on the underlying illness. So Elizabethkina, you know, getting that on top of what else you might be battling certainly doesn't help anyone's cause. But because these individuals who have gotten this infection have already been fairly ill to begin with, that seems to be a major contributing factor to the death rate rather than the presence of the bacteria itself, although it may contribute. So treatment options are available, and there are combinations that can be used, but sometimes the underlying illnesses are not readily amenable to modification. You know, if your immune system is compromised, there's not much that can be done about it urgently. So because of that, people fare worse than what one might otherwise think.
We're talking right now with Dr. Nasia Safdar, Medical Director of Infection Control at UW Hospital and Clinics, and we're talking about the recent outbreak of the bacterial illness Elizabethkina, and that's a word most of us have not been familiar with. Can you tell us a little bit about, I don't know, sort of the background, the origins of this bacteria and where it may originally have gotten identified?
Well, so it used to be called by different names. You know, molecular diagnostic testing methods have come a long way. So before, bacteria were grouped differently, and now we have more sophisticated ways of grouping them. So it used to be called Flavobacterium or Chrysobacterium, which were still rare, but infectious diseases physicians were familiar with those terms. And now that we know more about the specifics of it, it's now got its own Elizabethkina terminology. But it's named after a scientist at CDC who identified it. Elizabeth King.
And it sounds as though so far this outbreak is limited to Wisconsin, this particular, at least wherever we are in the development of it. But do we expect it to be seen in other states as well?
You know, it's been going on for a while, almost, several months at this point. So I would have thought if it was a multi-state, it would have become apparent by now. So I don't think that we will see that.
In terms of prevention, people may be listening, going, well, how do I protect myself? Is it the usual sort of hand-washing thing, or are there other things that people could do to prevent it?
You know, I think the general public really need not worry about it because, like I said, even though it's everywhere in the environment, it infects a very, very small proportion of people. And I think the action really needs to be on the side of healthcare providers and facilities to immediately detect and identify it and then report it to the Division of Public Health to aid them in their investigation in whatever way one can. For the general public, I mean, hand hygiene never hurts, but I don't know that that's the really crucial factor in this particular outbreak. It doesn't seem to be.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Dr. Nasia Safdar, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Nasia Safdar is a medical director of infection control at UW Hospital and Clinics and faculty at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, talking to us there about the recent outbreak of the bacterial illness Elizabethkina.